Misunderstandings that cause us pain. Misunderstandings that cause us pain. Clarified by truth to bring love again. Clarified by truth to bring love again.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. Amma ba'du fa a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah.
As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to a person performing salah followed by the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the recitation of salat, make dua, it will be answered. Ask for, it will be granted. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back, my dear viewers on Monday channel, to our beautiful series Misunderstandings, in which we are looking at misunderstandings, their solutions, some examples of, you know, what we can think about and how to resolve those issues within our families. As we mentioned, a healthy nation is made up of healthy families, healthy households, and the healthy households are made up of healthy individuals. Individuals make up a household and the households make up society. So in order to live a beautiful life in the way that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have commanded us to live, and a life that will lead us to paradise, we must overcome some hurdles and some barriers. And misunderstandings, they do become barriers and hurdles, but there's always a solution. There's always a way out. There's also there's always another route to take to avoid that barrier. And inshallah, we will be discussing some of those barriers and some of those other routes, inshallah. I'm joined by my guest, Abdul Hanan Bhai. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Abdul Hanan Bhai?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. How are you, Muhammad?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Abdul Hanan Bhai, we were mentioning some things regarding, you know, parents and children. And today I want to, you know, change it up a bit. And I want to put forward some scenarios to you, some examples of a situation that can occur, you know, in a house.
I was thinking when you're actually going to come with these scenarios. I'm hoping that you would come with something, because I know you have many things in your mind.
Yeah, inshallah, today I'm going to try to dig deep within these scenarios and, you know, really go to the root of the problem and then its solution, inshallah. So let's start off. Number one, the dad has asked his son to fix something that has broken down in the house. The son proceeds to fix it to the best of his understanding. The father keeps interrupting him and calls him stupid or idiot. And the son becomes frustrated, he drops everything, then he walks off. The father goes on to fix it. Of course, who else is going to fix it? So what's going on here? Where is the misunderstanding? Then we will also, my dear viewers on the channel, we look at both perspectives. So usually we see, you know, in our house, you know, the father sees his side and the son sees his side, and there's a clash of those perspectives. But we will, inshallah, discover, you know, what is the son thinking, what is the father thinking, inshallah. So what's going on here? Where is the problem coming from?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. MashaAllah, I like that. It is very interesting the way you put that on the table. And it's something that actually happens in many households. And there is obviously causes a lot of misunderstandings, mm-hmm. in our society, within the parents and the children. And something like this can happen in many different ways. This is the example you gave here, mm-hmm. Is like this. It's, you know, sometimes it can happen over just someone making a cup of tea, right? The mother asks for, make a cup of tea for her, and, you know, you're there to try to first wash the dishes, because the dishes are dirty before you even put the tea. And then, you know, it might be saying, oh, what's happened? Where's the tea? It's still not come. And then it's like, you know, walking into the kitchen and saying, oh, you're still washing the dishes too. Yeah, I thought maybe the half the tea would be made by now. Right? So you get these types of things happening within the home and over different things. You know, an example you've given, I've given an example. And, you know, we can overlook like this, and many examples can be given. And the thing is, these will lead to great amount of misunderstandings. Why? because it will bring anger into the person, whether it brings anger into the child or into the father or the mother, whichever side, the anger can go into both sides on this. Mm-hmm. And it's important to know the nature of the person you are dealing with.
Mm.
Know also, and also the speed of the way the person is working.
Mm.
I give you an example. My speed is a bit fast, and it's not necessarily that my children will have that same speed of doing things.
Okay,
right. Mm. So the way I would work, my child would not able
now
to
why
work
not?
In that way. It could. It's just the way, because think about it. I might have 40 years of experience, not giving my age away, but I might have had 40 years of experience.
Mm.
Yeah, this child is on what is 15, 16, whatever age it is.
Yeah.
He's got a lot less experience than me. Number one,
the child will always have less experience than his father.
It's obvious, yes. But you know, that should itself should be enough for us to understand that my child is not like me.
Mm.
My child cannot do things like me.
Mm.
Because you've experienced it. You messed up at the first time.
Mm.
Right? So if your child is doing it for the first time, he's messed up.
Or even
if he's doing it for the 10th time.
Yeah.
Think about it. His 10th time, it could be your 100 times or 1,000 times.
Mm.
So you've experienced a lot more. So have this in your mind when you see your child do something.
Mm.
Secondly, giving them an opportunity, a chance to do it in the way they want to.
Why is that important? Why is it important to, you know, not dictate everything and sometimes let the other person do it?
It's simple. If I'm always telling you off, would you like me?
No.
No, you're not going to like me. It's same with the child. Right? The child, you know, if someone puts themselves into that position, think about it, when your parents were telling you off, right? And you didn't like it. How is it going to be that your children are going to like you telling them off? They're not going to like it at all. Because it would happen with you, you didn't like it, they ain't going to like it. Okay, maybe you'll say, yes, I enjoyed my parents telling me off. Okay, you have parents like this, you know. Oh, we did it. We went through such a hard time.
Yep.
We went through this struggle. We went through, and you guys got it so easy on the plate.
Yep.
And still you don't do it.
It's very cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Still you're not involved. Or still you're not doing it right.
Mm.
Right? So this is not the way.
Mm.
Your times are different. Their times are different.
Mm.
Right? Our times are different. Our children's times are going to be different.
Mm.
Who knows what the coming generation and how they're going to be.
Even a couple of years, you know, even three, four years, you know, advancing very fast. And times are changing.
Just take technology for an example. In the old times, there was no mobile phones.
Mm.
Yeah, you had them phones which you could... Probably our children haven't seen them phones where you hold the dial and you go all the way down to the number and it goes back and then you take the next number. And
have you seen that?
Yes, I've seen that. They haven't seen these sort of things. So, you know, for them, it's, that was a different time. Now, you know, you give a child a phone which you have to press and he goes, teet, teet, teet. He's going to think, what's this one?
Yeah.
He ain't going to adjust to that. He will want a smartphone.
Yeah.
He will want something which is with the time of today.
Yeah.
Here, I'm not talking about whether you give them that thing or not, but I'm just telling you the difference in time.
Hmm.
Right? How different times are, how rapidly speed of change. Just, you know, for a short time, Mahat Bhai, I went off WhatsApp, right? I stopped using WhatsApp because messages coming left, right, and center. It was disturbing.
Mm.
So I turned it off for a while. I just deleted it.
Mm.
And within that short period of time, which I didn't have WhatsApp, believe me, I had no one calling me. I didn't get a single message from anyone.
Mm.
I didn't even know what was happening in our environment around us, right? Because everything is based on that now.
Mm.
You can say, this is the way of a connectivity, or social media, or any social media platform. And, you know, it made me look like that no one knows me, right? There's no messages, no one's asking how you are, no one's keeping you updated.
Mm.
And even like the things which were happening, like local gathering, you weren't aware of it.
Mm.
Because no one's going to send you a text message.
No.
So if you're not going to get a text message, you have to go onto a social media platform to be able to receive what's happening.
Mm.
Think about it, how times have changed.
Spam.
So this is just with technology and with certain things like this.
Mm. There was a time when this was, you know, completely absent.
Hey, there were times when people would write letters.
Yeah.
You know, those who were here, the parents were in Pakistan, or the parents were here, the children were in Pakistan, they would be writing letters to each other.
Mm.
And their letter would take a few weeks before it got there.
Wow.
And then the reply came back another few weeks later. So it'd be in 1 month, you write a letter and probably a month later you'll get a reply back.
Mm.
Right, so, you know, there were them times. So understand the times have changed, things have changed. But alhamdulillah, one thing which will never change, that is our deen. Right? If we were truly on the teaching of the deen, we were truly doing the actions which our Sharia has told us to do, alhamdulillah, there won't be misunderstandings. The misunderstandings are in relation to the dunya matters. Or in the way of upbringing, in the way of educating our children, or in the way of communication, because of the gap period. Think about it, everyone has a gap period. Right? Their lives, the way our parents live, we don't live like that. The way we are living, our children are going to live like that. And probably our grandchildren are going to live a lot different than any of, any of the way of anyone else. Right? So understand this thing, and this is important.
Okay. And so going back to the scenario now, in that situation, you know, okay, fine, he's not going to, the father's not going to dictate to his child, you know, in the sense that he's not going to discourage him, he's not going to call him stupid or idiot. But he, for everything, the father wants it done his way. And he's not given a chance to the child. Do you think the child's mind will develop as it should, as a problem solver? Or it, would it always be under the, you know, the shadow of the father? And if the father's not there, the child's like, oh, I don't know how to do it because my father's not here. He's not telling me what to do. I think that is that perspective also there, that dimension.
It's there. I think sometimes it comes under... you can look at it in different aspects. Sometimes it's being too careful, or you want things too perfect, or you want to not any harm to come to someone. Parents can be looking at it in that way as well. Right?
Okay.
It's not necessarily that the parents want you to do it in the way. I'll give you an example. You know, things which have changed in our time. For example, back in the days, there were no gates on steps, you know, for a child.
Yeah.
So the child safety gates. A child will fall, or they will teach him, or they will whatever. Now you have them gates which are placed there. And then the child thinks, why is this closed all the time? I can't go forward from here. No, I can't go up the stairs and I can't come down the stairs.
Yeah.
Right? So he be annoyed because of this barrier. So it's not necessarily what you are advised and what you are taught. It's wrong. Right?
Or it's restricting
it's
you.
It's restricting
sense.
You.
Yeah.
The child needs to understand this as well. I mean, my father is saying something, he's saying with his experience. He's saying with his understanding. Okay, it doesn't go into your mind. Try to think over the fact that why am I not able to pick this up? Why am I not able to understand? Right? Or why am I looking to do it in a different way? Right? Why am I thinking my way is better? Right? So a child needs to think of this as well.
Maybe, you know, as we mentioned, that times have changed. So, you know, this is not just limited to this example, but a child, he's grown up in that society that he understands these changes that are occurring. And sometimes the parents, they simply, you know, they won't understand. Is this mindset also right that, you know, my parents don't understand that times have changed? And perhaps the child is doing it in a correct manner, something, you know, not limited to, you know, fixing something. But he's doing something in a correct manner, and the father, because he's still thinking about his time, and he's thinking, you know, we've done it, and we've done it perfectly. Yeah, but you can still do it perfectly in a different manner. So how should we understand this? Should the father give, you know, the child a chance, or always a chance?
And they definitely, you know, you need to let them do things. You know, not everything comes perfect first time. And just think back to your life when you probably did something like this the first time. You messed up.
What if they say, no, I didn't mess up?
It's very less likely that first time around someone has done something new and he'll get it 100% right. There's a chance of it.
Yeah.
Okay, you've done it. Okay. But you think about the other things which you could have messed up in. You didn't do it first time.
Which you didn't. Or right. Maybe some things that you never even tried.
Right, so there's things which you haven't tried, the things which you don't touch, the things which you won't do. So don't expect your child to do everything in that way. Secondly, what sort of training did we give them from day one? Did we give them the training of these things from day one? Were they aware of this? Or did we, you know, maybe fill them in each time this was happening? I'll give you an example. I was... Once my nephew came around, and I was about to change a plug, so I called him over. And I said to him,
"Yeah, you found a real life story."
I told him, "Look, this is how you're changing a plug."
Yeah.
Right. And I went through one detail and each thing. Just showed him the whole thing. Now, after showing him, I should not be expecting that he's going to go and change the plug after this. No, it's not going to happen.
It's the expectation that sometimes causes the misunderstanding.
It's definitely. Think about it. One time round, it doesn't happen. I know when I first learned to change a plug, it didn't happen first time round.
Okay.
Or even if it happened first time round, that changing that one plug must have took me 15 minutes. Whereas today it could take me 1 or 2 minutes to change a plug. Right? So the time period has changed because I've done it over this period of time so much that I've picked up the speed. Right? First time when I did it was, I did it and then it still didn't feel right. And I did it again. It was still, I thought, okay, let it go now. It's done something to it. But even then, there could have been mistakes in the way I've changed that plug. You know, you have the three wires in a plug, right? And how they reach out, and knowing, and then how to put the wires inside that, and how to make sure that it doesn't get pulled out afterwards. All these things you gotta keep in mind. And I was teaching him that. Now, how many parents actually, they sit with their children and they go through this? You have to teach. I remember that I was teaching my son how to, turn over the toast and a pan.
Okay.
Right, like a piece of bread on a pan. Right, because a child has never done it. The pan is hot. And as it's been cooked, it's going to be warm. Right? For him to just pick it up like this, he's not going to be able to do it. Because he hasn't sensed that feeling. Your hands are used to it because you have been doing it. For him to do this, he will probably find that, what you call them, little the clippers which you lift up the bread and you turn it over, right? So he would want to do it in that way. But I was training him that the feeling of this. So if they have not felt that, how will he know that this is possible, or how can I do it? Or he's never gone near heat, right? Or he's never gone near cold. How will he be able to experience that? Right? And when he will going the first time, he will feel a sense of security. He would not want to get involved. He will want to keep a distance. He will want to keep further away from it. And and you gotta understand this, that the child is going through this. Give them the opportunity,
give them that gap,
give them the understanding. And it's not necessarily that he will become a master of that work which you are a master of.
Sometimes, a father may think, look, I want to teach my child. For example, this problem's occurred, or, he wants him to flip over the toast or whatever. But he has something else to do. Straight after that, he's got to meet someone. Or sometimes what happens is, guests are coming to the house and everyone's running around cleaning something, and something's broken down, and now he's asked him, and they're literally on the door, and now he's asking him to fix it and he can't fix it. And at that time, how should the father react?
That's first of all, it's a wrong thing to do, because in a time of pressure, you're trying to put a pressure onto your child, right, which will definitely affect him.
At that moment, should he do it himself?
He should definitely try to do himself, or the father, or the mother, whoever is in charge there. They should take these things, these things in the matters of rush, don't push them onto others. Right? So there'll be two sides of this. One, you will expect them to do it. And when they've been pressurized at the last minute, they won't be able to do it in the same way. Just in the same way, when you are pressurized to do that thing last minute, why didn't you do it yourself first of all? Right, because you might have another few things to do, right? Or it could be that if I start doing this, how am I going to do that? It's not enough time. So if you realize it's not enough time, you're pushing it onto someone else. He doesn't have that same time as well.
So he's got less experience than you.
He's got less experience than you. So never push things onto children or the youth and last minute things. Sometimes we tend to do this. I'll give you an example. Children have become so different in the way they are compared to the years before, right? Sometimes parents go sit in the car, start in the car, they sit down, and they're about to go shopping. Oh, bring the shopping bags.
Yeah.
So what do you do? You send the child, right? Go and get the shopping. Now he's just put his seatbelt on, comfortably sat down, just like you, right? You're both in the same position. You both put your seatbelts on, and you're comfortably sitting there. Now you say, he's going to be feeling frustrated, right? If you want that thing to be done at that time, there should be a good way of doing it. Beta, right, son, you know what I'm going to say to you? Dad, come on, don't say that. No, I know you're going to do. There should be a connection of love.
That love.
Right? And that feeling will make him bring it. Rather than, go and bring the bags. Mm. Oh, God, you know, he's thinking, oh, he's putting on, always me. Right? He's thinking like this.
Where does this come from? You know, this, the way to talk, the way to, you know, show the love. No, it's the same thing. The result is going to be the same, that the shopping bags are going to be brought into the car. But the result at the end is two different things. And the way it's done is two different ways as well. If he says it in such a manner that, you know, the child is fed up, and when he comes back, you know, it's, the child is more likely to cause another argument. But if the father goes and, you know, attempts this in a different manner, in the way you said, you know, the way you, mashallah, did it, the child will do it out of happiness. And when he comes back, he will be more than happy. The results are the same. But, you know, these two methods, how...
Where it comes from, I tell you where it comes from. It comes from the best of mankind, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. You know, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. He was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said to me why this task was not done.
Hmm.
Look at the andaz, look at the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mercy to the whole world, the teacher of all teachers.
Hmm.
He is teaching us this tarbiyat.
Hmm.
You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said to Anas, he gave him a task to do. If it wasn't done, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say, oh, Anas, why it's not been done?
Where is it?
Where have you been?
Hmm.
Right? This was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? This shows that how gentle the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. It's showing us gentleness. First of all, if we send our children away to do something and, you know, they've done it, right? But it's not done in the perfection, or it's not done in the full 100%, right? At least appreciate the fact that they've done it.
But for you, the father wants to improve his son. He's saying, okay, fine, he's not done it perfectly, but I want him to, you know, step up and take the next level. But he just doesn't know how to express it to him. That, you know, I'm not frustrated with you, but I just want. But the child will take it as demoralizing himself. How should the father express that? You know, look, son, I want it for, you know, your betterment. But sometimes, you know, parents, they do, even when they say that, the child is still unable to understand that, and the child still gets frustrated. You know, they're always pushing me down, even though the father is just trying to improve his son.
Definitely, it's a thing which the parents should be doing, but also for the child also needs to be reflecting upon this as well.
Mm.
Right? Because a child should always know, my father will only do that or tell me to do that which is good for me.
Mm.
Alhamdulillah, those who are in the mahal, in good environments, the parents are not, I'm not talking about those parents who are in the wrong anyway.
Mm.
They're not going to expect this. Even they might be still expecting good from their children, even that they are in the evil. Right? But generally, I'm just saying that your parents wouldn't want you to do anything wrong.
Mm.
Or they wouldn't want you to involve in any wrong activities.
Yes.
So just a child needs to think of it from that aspect. Whereas the parents, they also need to think that it's this thing of keep on pushing your children. It could push them away to a certain extent that they might not come back.
Mm.
Right? Sadly, a lot of parents don't understand the children.
Where does the understanding come?
Understanding comes in when you observe them, when you look at their actions. Sometimes I would sit and I see my son do something, or I see my daughter do something, and I'll just watch them do it.
Mm. Now, do you have to react right away?
No. You don't have to react.
But what if you're saying, you know, it may be, you know, cause of harm for that child, or, you know, what's he doing?
Unless it's something that serious.
Major.
That can really cause harm. I'm talking about a child takes a knife. Obviously, it's gonna affect, or he's literally about to fall in the fire.
Mm.
There is obviously that's where you need to be aware and save him out of it. But a lot of things don't really cause harm, right? For us, they might be, you know, the way we are today. Like it's a child is sitting on the end of the city. Oh, no, you're going to fall off. Right? Your parents are like this.
Yeah.
And the child needs to understand this as well. Why they are like this is the love for you. They care for you.
Yeah.
Right? And the child sometimes gets furious just over nothing. But this is just how the parents think. Oh, you're going to fall. Oh, they're looking at the way you're holding the glass and they know, oh, the glass is about to fall.
Mm.
Oh, it's going to fall. It's going to break.
Mm.
And you think, oh, it's not going to go. And then you still go on. You probably trip over and you break that glass. Right? But just saying, you know, the parents do it out of concern, but there should be a certain things which you, you know, don't start saying, and everything is going to fall, it's going to break, it's going to... Some parents have this way. And what happened
negativity,
is,
would you call it?
It's over concern. Mm. I wouldn't call it negativity. Sometimes it's obviously related to concern, but it's too, having too much concern over everything. This is going to happen. Actually, you know, funny enough, yesterday I was driving home and I saw this father. He was taking his son home. Mm. His son is a teacher.
Okay.
Right? He's taking his son home on the bus, and I see this father, he would do this with his child all the time.
Mm.
He basically collect him from where he's teaching and take him home. And I thought to myself, you know, a thought came to my mind. This son,
How old was the son?
The son was about 24, 23, something along this age, in his 20s.
Mm.
And I thought to myself that, you know, this child will not learn to able to catch the bus on his own, because he will always be dependent upon his father. And this father is also spoiling the child and thinking he's over-caring,
over-protective.
Something happens to my son coming. Thousands of children catch the bus. Thousands of children come home on their own. Right? And keep this in mind. Today you are here for them. Tomorrow you're not. And if you're not there tomorrow, Allah grant every parent's long life. But you know, it could be that the child might go before the father, but I'm just generally saying, if you are not there tomorrow for them, how would that son cope then? So don't put them into that extra extreme of not able to do things, and you have to be there for them, you have to help them all the time, you have to, no, it's not done like this. Let him do it. Makes a mistake, well, it's not the end of the world. Right? A lot of these mistakes I'm talking about, they are general small mistakes which can be fixed. And you know, just let it happen. But sadly, what's happening is we are like, no, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. If I'm not there, if you're not there, there could be a time you might not be there. But your children's life will carry on. How many people's lives have you seen stop? How many family lives have stopped when the father figure or the mother figure is not there? Right? They carry on. The children carry on till the extent those children who are immature or little children. Right, the parents pass away in some sort of an accident or something, and the children are still being looked after.
Yeah.
They're still getting food. They're still getting everything which they need. Everything is provided. You have to learn to leave it upon Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Right, learn to rely upon Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. This is very important.
Subhanallah, reliance upon Allah Subhanahu wa Taala plays a key part in every dimension of our life, especially with regard to families, with regard to relationships. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to act upon what we have learned. Inshallah, we will see you, my dear viewers of Money Channel, in our next episode. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Misunderstandings that cause us pain. Misunderstandings that cause us pain. Clarified by truth to bring love again. Clarified by truth to bring love again.